This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
Now, perhaps I was not clear in the first hour, but you shut your damn mouth. And that's what Donald Trump is being told to do. Now, once again, I'm not here to stump for Donnie T, but every single day I have to go through the headlines, and now every single day I see a judge that is out of control saying things to Donald Trump like, hey, you know, you don't have to talk to the press every day. Let me just full stop that one. When have we ever had any type of criminal trial where the person being accused of a crime, after being in court, was unable to talk to the press? At Bueller, Ferris, are you here? Never, let alone from an ex-president of the United States who happens to be running for the current presidency of the United States in an election year, literally 6 months out. That is the direction by an out of control legal system, and this should alarm everyone. Now, if you were watching the headlines, they were mentioning this interview with Time Magazine. Now, I would be remiss to say that I have not read this entire interview, but if he is not directing that interview to the fact that we need to eviscerate what is the deep state, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, that's day one. If we don't do that, I don't know how we get a country back. And no one's talking about this aspect. Oh, we're going to turn the energy back on. It's going to be great. Guys, if you have a country where your current leader was spied on the way to getting there throughout his administration, clearly had moles everywhere from Pompeo to Barr to Bolton to Mattis to Liddell to McMasters to Peter Thiel, who some people still aggrandize as some kind of libertarian hero, you don't get it. You just don't get it. Now, at the same time, I find it extremely hard to believe that this apparatus, even if Donnie T were able to get in, would allow themselves to be criminally vulnerable. Now, what does that mean? That means there's still no accountability. I want to sit here and think to myself, yeah, there's a possibility that Michael Hayden and John Brennan and Michael Pompeo will go to jail. But that's not real. Like, I would have, in order for that to happen, everybody, I would have to quit both my talk show jobs, get down to the nitty gritty of a graphic novel, get it illustrated, write it up, and I'd have to put it out as a fantasy piece where they were all arrested. That's about as close as we're going to get. They're not going anywhere. This is a huge issue. And there's still a sect of the population, for whatever reason, that thinks he's going to lock them up. Oh, they're scared to death of him because he's going to lock them up. Let me just give you a little perspective and prediction for the next year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Hillary Clinton, not in prison. Guaranteed. Bill Clinton, not in prison, guaranteed. Anyone that has worked for the Central Intelligence Agency at a high level, not in prison, guaranteed. If you can't keep Harvey Weinstein in jail with all the evidence against him, you better damn well be sure that you're not taking down the deep state, Donnie T style, and we better figure out what we're going to do in this country before it goes completely off the rails, Hervory Morick style, where we've got 30 assassinations, 11 kidnappings in this country on political candidates, and it's just the norm. That's really the only way that it could possibly get worse. You want to get better? How about you fancy a bank holiday weekend at a music festival for truth and freedom tribes? With 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors, this is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. A Stand in the Park and Light Paper present Stand in the Light, a Truth Music Festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. You got a little bit more time on this one. You get 4 days of camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. What a deal. Children under 5 come in free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now to make sure you don't miss what's going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole freedom loving family. StandInTheLight.uk. We will see you there, and we will see you on the flip side of this break with Adam Clark bringing the ruckus. It's TNT Radio.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, this one's a super fun one. Unveiled on Wednesday, Ukraine has a brand new AI-generated foreign ministry spokesperson, hint, it's a woman of color, to provide information about its ongoing war efforts against Russia's invasion of the country. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark to bring the AI ruckus, just what the Ukrainians needed, a beautiful woman of color displaying foreign policy that only exists in the virtual universe. You can't make this stuff up. It's 2024, sir.
Well, at least this time it's a beautiful woman, although unfortunately it's still not a real woman, in case everybody forgot who the last spokesperson was. Sarah? Michael? I can't remember. It went back and forth every once in a while. So that was an interesting choice that they went this route. My brain immediately went to, you know, we had a fake woman and now another fake woman, except a very different kind. And I can't for the life of me figure out how to pronounce this fake spokesperson, this AI generated person's name, but it's Victoria Shi. So it's either she, shy, or shri. The name comes after the word victory and the Ukrainian abbreviation for AI. And as far as what it looks like, it was not just created out of nowhere. It's actually based on the likeness of a popular Ukrainian singer and a real life woman, real life influencer, one Rosalie Nombre, who agreed to participate for free, pro bono. The avatar is dressed in all black with a Ukrainian flag pin, hair pulled back, and she's wearing studded earrings. But officials stressed that the digital person and Nombre, in case you were confused, are, quote, two different people, end quote. Well, thanks for clearing that up. In a video released by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Shri introduced herself and described her role and job functions, saying she was built to protect, quote, the rights and interests of Ukrainian citizens abroad, end quote. Whatever that means. The decision to add an AI Ministry Foreign, the MFA is the abbreviation for Ukraine's Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The decision to do this, use an AI spokesperson, was quote unquote not a whim, but it is a requirement of wartime efforts. At least that is according to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Ukraine's, let's see, his name, Dmytro Kuleba. This was in a statement that was translated by another AI program, funnily enough. But he said, quote, in this statement, after all, in order to achieve the results necessary for the country, it is necessary to speed up all processes and be one step ahead, end quote. A very interesting statement there. Speaking about her role as a representative for Ukraine's MFA, the AI program said in her video message, quote, my job will be to report operational and verified information on the consular department of the MFA of Ukraine to the public. I will inform journalists of news about the work of consuls in protecting the rights and interests of Ukrainian citizens abroad, responding to incidents or emergency situations and other news, end quote. The MFA has taken steps to protect the program, person, thing from hackers or digital counterfeiting by placing a QR code at the bottom of every video that will take viewers directly to a text version of the statement on the official government website. That's also very interesting. If there is not a QR code on the video, the MFA warned it is not considered authentic, but also clarified that SHI is not a replacement for a real-life human Ukrainian MFA spokesperson. She was invented simply to save the MFA's time and resources by allowing Ukrainian leaders to focus on other tasks, like assisting citizens. This all according to the minister himself, Kuleba. He says, quote, diplomacy not only in Ukraine, but throughout the world has always been a conservative field that was the last to introduce innovations. We are changing that. Ukrainian diplomacy is now strengthening its capabilities and making a technological leap, which no diplomatic service in the world has yet made, end quote. Very, very interesting story, Jason. I'm curious what your take is on this.
How about super dark and super terrible? And why is that? All right, let's start with the fact that we've already had media Muppets since the jobs have been out there. You know, a Jean-Karine Pierre is there to lie to you, right? That's all there. The Jen Psaki is there to lie to you. And Ari Fleischer is there to lie to you. I could go down the line. Never been a big fan of the press secretaries in this country. Still always a human being. And why is that important to me? Well, I'd like to say, no matter how ice cold, there is a soul in there. I know I'm probably bad and anti-science for believing in a soul, but there's also a thing called empathy, right? So somewhere down the line, they may be told to do something or say something that is just too far beyond the pale, and they'll step back, right? They'll resign. Maybe in an interview 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, in a book 20 years down the line, they'll admit to their mistakes. They'll even shed some light on what happened in the room to make those decisions outside of the purview of the rest of us. You know what's never going to do that? A programmed AI, a text-to-speech virtual assistant that is basically going to do what it's told always. Now, this is also the acclimation of warfare in 2024, where, yeah, right now you're getting a QR code. That's not going to be guaranteed in the future. Most people are not going to be aware of what they're watching. They already established that they tried to create this avatar off of a popular celebritard, again, trying to relate to the people. So this is extremely dangerous, but it shows us where we are. You know, Asian countries, Japan in particular, have had these avatars doing the news for quite some time. That was dangerous. But now we're talking about press releases in first world conflicts on the journey to a possible World War III. When you're taking humans out of the picture, I think that it causes a lot of unseen dangers that the general populace just isn't going to be aware of, Adam.
Yeah, it's very frightening where this could be headed, Jason. Although, funnily and oddly enough, it's kind of, I don't know. KJP, say what you will about her. She's cool and all. She's cute as a button, right? But the thing is, like, she's a real human being as far as we know, right? You never know these days. But similar to this new program, I wonder, like, because, like, when KJP or a human being representing a government agency is confronted by reporters, usually they're quick on their feet with an answer. KGP is not. So I'm curious, if I'm not mistaken, the AI program would probably respond the same way she does when pressed by a question from the reporters and simply just act as though that does not compute. Sorry, I had to go there.
No, I think that's really an astute point. But the other point is that somebody like Karine Jean-Pierre can be confronted outside of the White House. You know, it's not just in the press briefing room. And I think that's important. A lot of people will call that ambush journalism. But the bottom line is we need to be doing more We Are Change style events where you see that person out in the public, you break out the phone, you ask a real question and get a real response from them. And those things can shed light on darkness. They can expose these people. We will never get that opportunity with an AI representative of any government policy or any war policy, especially. And I really think that this is going to become more and more prevalent. And quite frankly, we're a stone's throw away in this country for having representatives like that. And let's talk about that for a second. How scary would it be if all of a sudden you did have White House reporters in a room and it was just a hologram or an AI projected and they just didn't even care anymore? I mean, that's something that I know sounds like science fiction, but with the current administration in office, if they were to get in again, might become science fact. Believe the science, everybody. Adam, fascinating story. We will see you tomorrow night. We got to take another break. When we come back, we've got more great show for you. It's my show, The Jason Burma Show, right here at TNT. See you in a moment.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTRadio.live.
And joining us now is one of my favorite geopolitical commentators, Stuart J. Hooper. Thank you so much for joining us, Stuart. Obviously, no shortage of things to talk about, especially when we're talking about Israel and the Middle East. Now, a lot of people are focusing on the protests, rightfully so. They're focusing on the anti-Semitism bill, rightfully so. But what they're not focusing on is that you are having large nations coming out against Israel, Turkey in particular, and their leader Erdogan basically saying, this is out of control, this is genocide, these are war crimes, and we're done dealing with them. And again, this isn't a headline anywhere in the United States. It's being reported, but usually in the European press. So what does this mean, especially with the IPCC and the ICC and the possibility of arrest warrants that will go nowhere, and even Netanyahu addressing these arrest warrants that will go nowhere?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a huge development, Jason, and thank you for having me back. As always, love joining you here on your broadcast. Yeah, this is somewhat of a big story, but like you said, hard to hear about anything like this in the US press for sure. You really have to do a little bit of digging. So Turkey is basically saying that we are no longer going to be importing or exporting goods with Israel, and that is primarily because of the humanitarian aid situation in the Gaza Strip right now. So Erdogan, president of Turkey, is saying that if Israel were to let in sufficient aid, sufficient help to the starving, dying, disease-ridden Palestinian people in Gaza, well, he would quite happily go back to this interchange of economic relations. But that's what he's demanding for. And he joins a growing chorus of, as you said, countries around the world that are calling for exactly the same thing. Colombia today just cut off ties, all diplomatic ties with Israel. So this is spreading as a phenomenon in the sense that we do have a growing collection of countries that are ready, willing, and able to challenge Israel, and also simultaneously the United States and this so-called Western world order, the liberal rules-based order, which again, if we saw these protests taking place, I tweeted about this earlier, in Russia, Iran, China. If you saw student protests to this scale and over 2,000 people arrested, which is what has now happened in the United States, you would have the Western elites, the rules-based liberal order going absolutely off the wall, going completely crazy about this. And of course, probably even calling for regime change. So when the Chinese see this, when the Russians see this, when the Iranians see this, all they get to do is turn around and abuse their own citizenry more than they already do and say, well, how can you call us out? Look what you do to your people.
It certainly is not leading by example. And I guess that kind of brings us to this legislation that has been fast-tracked through the Congress and ultimately will pass in the Senate. I'm not sure if you saw Chip Roy, but he was one of the few people to stand up and say, hey, you didn't let us even look at this in committee. This thing has been fast-tracked. It is anti-free speech. I am not for any type of bill that classifies hate speech or thought crimes as just that, as criminal behavior. Then you go down the line of what anti-Semitism, which is a working definition, is already defined by and can be expanded. And this is quite horrifying because we know that it's not just going to be utilized in the academic system and colleges. It will be quickly expanded to our entire citizenry. And quite frankly, with this bill, it kind of makes college students second-class citizens on a level I never thought possible in the United States.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. I haven't heard anyone put it in those terms yet, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And the problem here, of course, is in the United States, here in the United States, you have this little thing called the First Amendment, which is supposed to protect free speech, including hate speech, so-called hate speech, whatever you want to call it. Yes, there are limits to free speech, but calling out the actions of a foreign government, calling out the actions of foreign government officials, calling out the actions of your own congressman, yeah, that's not really a violation of the First Amendment. So I think the only thing that we can really fall back on here is the fact that no matter how quickly this is shoved through the Congress, which it clearly is being right now, and of course we have a few principled politicians in Congress that are standing up against this, Thomas Massie being a big one, Rand Paul as well, I've seen come out against this. Not sure if I've seen anyone on the Democratic side. There probably are one or two, maybe you would know. But
Jerry Nadler wouldn't even sign on to it. Jerry Nadler, the Penguin himself, the guy who looks like a Gotham villain, did not vote for this thing. I mean, that's how bad this legislation really is. I'm sorry, continue.
No, that's good to hear though, right? That's good to hear. That shows that even someone like that, a true creature of the swamp, let's say, is capable of even recognizing that this really isn't going to fly and this isn't going to be fantastic. But yeah, even if they shove it all the way through Congress, which they're trying to do, this will be struck down. This is unconstitutional. It's clearly unconstitutional. Violation of the First Amendment. It will go to the courts. It will be challenged in the courts and it will be struck down through judicial review. It will be declared unconstitutional.
Well, I certainly hope that we do go in that direction, but that may take quite a long time. And like you said, this thing is being fast-tracked. It's gotten through Congress. I expect it to get through the Senate probably in the next couple of weeks. Whether or not it is reviewed it is another matter. And quite frankly, with the escalation of this conflict and the escalation of what's going on in the United States, I'm not sure that that is a possibility within the next 6 months, within the next year. And I don't know that we have another year after this election cycle. If it is able to stand, you can only see more legislation like this being passed. And quite frankly, look, I don't like anti-Semitism. I don't blame the quote-unquote Jews for everything. But if somebody doesn't like Jews and is an anti-Semite, guess what? In this country, you get to be that. I want to know who these people are, right? That's one of the golden rules of freedom of speech. It's easy to protect speech that you agree with. It is difficult to stand up for those that you vehemently disagree with and think are grotesque, quite frankly, and have grotesque ideas. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just briefly jump in before the break here. Yeah, we have, of course, really nasty, vile people that espouse really nasty, vile views, like anti-Semitism, like any form of racism against any group, any form of xenophobia. All of this stuff is ridiculous, off the wall, but we need to see where it's coming from, and we need to be able to debate those people and call them out for what they really are, and not go after them legally, but defeat them in the battlefield of ideas, not legal punishment. This doesn't work. And also, why is it that the Congress is able to fast track this? Meanwhile, the country is literally falling apart at the seams. I mean, we got collapsing apartment buildings, collapsing bridges, collapsing roads. You name it, the country's falling apart at the seams. The Congress can't do anything about that. But here we go. If we want to outlaw anti-Semitism, apparently that can be done.
You do it snap, crackle, and pop quick, but no, you don't do anything for this country. Well, unless Xi Jinping is coming to visit San Francisco. That's a tale for another day. We're going to take a break for the headlines. When we come back, I want to talk about the International Criminal Court now meeting with senators from both sides of the aisle, getting ready to declare these, I guess, arrest warrants that are never going to go anywhere. We're going to be talking about that and much more. More TNT after this.
We have some wonderful news for you.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Colombian President Gustavo Petro has announced that Colombia will sever diplomatic relations with Israel, citing what he termed as the genocidal actions of its government. In an interview with Time magazine, former President Donald Trump outlined his policy priorities for a possible second term, focusing heavily on immigration and economic policies. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Israeli leaders, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Isaac Herzog, to push for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Now, a number of these international organizations have rightly, in my opinion, been classified as paper tigers, right? A lot of people used to come at me about the United Nations pre-COVID 1984 and say, it's just the UN. They don't really have any power. And to some extent, when it comes to actually prosecuting crimes, they don't. Now, we have the International Criminal Court coming out and saying they may be issuing arrest warrants for Netanyahu and some of his upper echelon government officials. Netanyahu has come out and said if that is the case, they're going to go even harder at the Palestinian groups. I don't know how that's possible as they've bombed them into the ground. But there's a lot of posturing, right? There's a lot of dink swinging and pissing and, oh, I want the political clout. So we are sending representatives from the United States to engage with the international criminal courts to discuss this matter. Where does this go? I assume that these arrest warrants will be made. Nobody will be arrested. And there will be political rhetoric coming from both sides of the aisle. And there will be some individuals in the United States who become highlighted and maybe become pseudo celebrities if they're not already on that scale when it comes to this issue.
Yeah, absolutely right. The ICC, like you said, is another one of these international organizations that for the most part is a paper tiger in the sense that trying to actually enforce its rulings is pretty tough. The United States, of course, not a member of the International Criminal Court. Israel, not a member of the International Criminal Court either. However, I've listened to a lot of legal analysts over the last couple of days here, and they seem to believe that the ICC doesn't see that as a problem because the Palestinians are a member. Therefore, if a member is under some degree of attack, like it currently is, it has the legal authority to pursue whoever that attacker is. But the ICC also does have this long history of only really going after African leaders, African warlords. So it's kind of got this reputation of not really going after anyone who has a real global impact. Now, do you want to go after these nasty guys in Africa? Yeah, you probably do. But do you also want to go after George W. Bush? Probably. Do you want to go after Tony Blair? probably. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, all of these people, the latter two. Is Dick Cheney still with us? I don't know. Donald Rumsfeld, I think he kicked the bucket last year, I think.
Rumsfeld kicked the bucket. Darth Cheney still rocking with somebody else's heart.
Yeah, I think it may be an alien heart or something, some robotic heart. I don't know what he's got rocking in there. But yeah, so if the ICC really wants to be a legitimate court, right, and wants to get some real, let's say, international political clout, it needs to broaden its remit than just African leaders that are, in the grand scheme of things, easy targets for a court like this with the levels of resources that it has. But it would present a huge political problem for Israel and Netanyahu, because most Western European countries are members of the ICC. So that would mean if he went on some happy trails around the world, trying to go on a PR tour for Israel, which he's really going to need to do in overdrive as a result of what he's done in Gaza, that would be tough, because you would put the onus on those European governments to have to essentially hold him and then send him off for his trials. Putin has his ICC arrest warrant out against him right now, so he's facing the exact same issue. So there is some political ramifications, but they're all well aware of this. They're not going to walk into that trap. And I think if you see Netanyahu in irons anytime soon, you're probably just dreaming.
So let's talk about the possibility of a ceasefire. A lot of people don't even realize that Hamas still has some of the hostages from the October 7th attacks. Now, previously, we had seen an exchange of hostages, I think somewhere along the lines, now 3 or 4 months ago, for a temporary ceasefire that did not last very long. Obviously, this is concerning to the Palestinian side, and the prediction is this is going to go nowhere. The Palestinians are asking for a ceasefire altogether. Shocker there, obviously. They don't really have a military, folks. They want the ceasefire, but they're not guaranteed anything, and this has made them hesitant to release these hostages. So what are the fate of these remaining hostages going to be? Is there any chance at a ceasefire, or is there somewhere in the middle?
Ceasefire, I'm really not sure. Netanyahu, as we've just discussed, is in this really weird political predicament. Again, the outcomes that it will have, probably not set in stone, but it is a very real imminent political problem at the very least. So we've apparently got somewhere in the region of 129 hostages still yet to be found in Gaza, 105 released in that prior deal that was made a few months back. But what's going on with these 129 people is really anyone's guess. They are in the same Gaza that is under complete Israeli blockade. They're in the same Gaza that's being completely destroyed by Israeli bombs night after night after night. I think the likelihood of getting most of these people back alive is very, very, very slim, as unfortunate as that is. And again, the whole October 7th attack was a complete disaster. Yes, it was terrorism, but the response has been a disaster as well. The Israeli public, the families of these 129 hostages that are still stuck in Gaza, dead or alive, are increasingly frustrated and increasingly angry with Netanyahu and his government, because they see what's going on as well. And they're asking the question, well, how do we get our family members out of Gaza when you're flattening everything? You're carpet bombing the entire strip. You're leveling entire apartment complexes. You're leveling hospitals, schools, churches, mosques. Everything is seemingly a target. What if my loved one is there where you're dropping those bombs? So this is, again, a growing domestic political problem for Netanyahu. But of course, as we've discussed before, and as now many, many, many analysts agree, Netanyahu needs to keep this war going. It's the only thing that's keeping him in power, because he can always fall back on the claim, well, we're at war right now, therefore this isn't the time for a change of leadership, this isn't the time for an election. That would open the door to political chaos. We'll get some Hamas sympathizer who will be elected. Israel will be under threat. I need to stay in power. And how is he kept
very,
in power?
Very alarming.
Yeah, exactly. And how is he kept in power with this far-right group of Israeli politicians, borderline, if not full-on, in terms of how far right they actually are, like near the very end of the spectrum here. And that's what he's banking on, keeping that political support so that he can remain in power.
And, you know, I want to remind people that he's also said that there will be an investigation into October 7th after this conflict ends. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want this conflict to go as long as it possibly can. Is there any hope that there is a resolution before the election in the United States, or possibly if Donald Trump is elected, and we'll end with this, will that be the end to this conflict on some level, as Trump has alluded to?
I am still of the belief that when Trump gets elected, not if, I think if this conflict is still going on, he's going to give Netanyahu a blank check to do whatever the hell he wants in Gaza. I think it's going to go from bad to worse. And in terms of getting a ceasefire, Biden would love that. But I think Netanyahu also knows, right? He knows that I kind of need Trump in office. I don't really want Biden in office anymore. He's not really a great help to me. So yeah, I think if Trump gets in, this situation is going to go from bad to worse. Maybe we could get some good news for Ukraine, Russia. I think that's where Trump would really try to act as the peacemaker, so he can sell himself as the person who averted World War III. But I think with Netanyahu, he'll probably end up giving him a blank check.
Very scary. You can follow Stuart J. Hooper at Stuart J. Hooper over on X and beyond. Stuart, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to take one final break. Next segment, we're going to be talking about AI in the schools, not the way you think, but sabotage. It's a microcosm for everything that's dangerous about artificial intelligence. Final segment of the Jason Burma Show after this. More TNT coming up.
Right now, the forgotten poor are waiting for healing and care, for life-saving medical care, for a chance to live with dignity and hope. They are waiting for Mercy Ships and you. Mercy Ships is the largest floating civilian hospital in the world, with volunteer medical staff and crew who donate their time to save lives. And now, as our newest state-of-the-art hospital ship sets sail, Mercy Ships will double our ability to reach children and adults who need us now.
Without the work of Mercy Ships, these patients don't have another option.
Mercy Ships is answering the call to serve suffering people who have nowhere else to turn. Together, we are going to some of the world's most desperate places and bringing a wave of hope and healing to those who need it most.
Thank you!
Thank you!
To learn more about this wave of hope, go to mercyships.org today.
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is him. Every day, he's hungry for something. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then it kind of starts to work itself out.
This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
And we are joined by my partner in mixed martial mindset. He is an MMA legend, a former champion, John Fitch of johnfitch.net. Now, we talk more than just sports. I mean, again, we used to do a weekly show together. We've often talked about artificial intelligence. And while I was on the road last week, I'm sitting there listening to this story, and I'm kind of blown away by it because they're actually playing the audio clips of a principal in a school district in Baltimore using some pretty bigoted language, dropping N-bombs, just going off. And this guy had to step down. He actually, that people heard this, he had to step aside. Lo and behold.
Security, didn't they? Didn't his family have to get security around their home?
I mean, the things he was supposedly saying, yes, he had to get security. I mean, you listen to this and you think that you're listening to somebody out of like the 70s South in segregation America, like being a bigot. It's out of control.
I didn't see it. It was the link you sent. I didn't find the audio of the actual AI modified talk. So
it sounds legit. That's all I'm going to say is that if it hadn't been run through a program.
you showed me your soundboard where you got to sound like Obama for a second.
Mm-hmm. And that's kid stuff.
My son's found like a channel where it's like a bunch of songs they like, and it's all Cartman AI, and it's all Cartman singing the music.
It's my new thing. Like, I'll give you another AI example. So, again, we like to have fun here. I'm going to suggest a song that may have a title you're not used to. I glued my balls to my butthole again, and it's by Obscurist Vinyl, and it sounds like something that Sam Cooke put together with a band, right? So it's hilarious. I'm listening to it when I shower in the morning, and I'd sent it to my buddy. We're at the alumni picnic. And I start playing it for one of the older guys, and I explain to him that it's AI. My friend goes, wait a minute, that's AI? I go, yeah, dude, no one's singing that. That's a text. He got so upset because he thought it was a real band playing real music as a comedy troupe. Just like, again, they thought this principal was a racist and this was a real audio clip. The thing that's really alarming about the thing in Baltimore is it wasn't some ex-girlfriend or ex-wife or some kids trying to get him in trouble. Instead, it was the athletic director of the school. You have another school official that dislikes the principal so much that they utilize AI to not only get them almost fired, but then really did put them in physical harm. And if they're doing this on a school level, can you imagine the implications in the corporate world, in the entertainment world, and most importantly, John, in the political arena?
Just like dating. Right? Like you're the sneaky fucker who is the nice guy friend, and you like get recordings of her boyfriend's voice, and then you make the AI of him calling her a bunch of names or something, and then they break up, and you're like, "Oh, cry on my shoulder."
It's diabolical. Yeah, no, it's worse than like a screenshot of DMs, right? Like you used to have that where, oh, he slid into my girlfriend's DMs, you take a screenshot. Now you could have a full on audio conversation just by doing something like this. Going to somebody's social media page, finding a 2 or 3 minute of them talking about something, running that through an AI program, you now have their voice, doing that with a significant other, and then putting something out right now in audio format that is very believable. But I know that you didn't see the story earlier. Ukraine has officially launched a government official that is a full AI woman of color, by the way, that is their new ministry. What is it? MASF. I forget what it stands for. But she's the person basically giving out the information of the war in Ukraine. And she isn't a she. She isn't a he. She is an AI, and a diverse one at that, John.
A diverse robot.
Because it's not even a robot.
We need representation of robots. We need AI representation of all representation.
And you know what? I'm glad you said it like that, because eventually that's where it's going to go. We got the important
things covered. You know, it makes me feel more comfortable about my children's future.
That we have AI dictating policy. Yeah, no, it's a great idea. This is
craziness. It's terrible and underreported. So I feel like more people need to know this, because hey, anything you hear, you need to just pause before you react, right? Because the guy was getting death threats, his family was getting threatened, like he had to like resign from his job. Like there's some people who will never let go of what they think he did. You're like, I know he's a racist. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they say it was AI. Like some people, I've seen it. There's like studies been done to talk about the people who the first thing they hear is the thing that they want to stick to. It's not necessarily the most true thing that they want to adhere to.
And isn't that like the whole thing is that people want to believe in their feelings, right? I think there will be a certain segment that they'll go, well, he was a bigot. That's why this happened. That the athletic director, just like all those people that saved us from Trump, they fortified the election. This guy just fortified the school board by getting rid of a bigot.
He deserved it anyways. He was a bad person.
So speaking of bad people, let's shift gears. I am loving the combat sports. Now, despite the fact that I was on the road and my hotel in 2024 had no Wi-Fi and I had to stream it from my phone, I watched BKFC Knuckle Mania. I love the BKFC. I remember we were doing our show when it initially kicked off. We had our questions,
fan of it. It's developed a long way. They do a good job. Chris Lytle, big shout out to Chris Lytle, does an amazing job on the microphone. He is fantastic. That's the type of guy I like on the mic, who's calling it how
and
it
not
is.
Not only a guy on the mic, fought bare knuckle.
He's actually good. He's got 3 or 4 fights. He's undefeated bare knuckle. So he's been in there. He knows what's going on. He's boxed. He's had a lot of MMA fights. You know, very, very seasoned guy. And he's from the state where the most handsome men come from.
Indiana. What state is that?
It's Indiana, it's Indiana.
I figured it was Indiana. I drove through South Bend twice on my trip, by the way. Mayor Pete... I missed all the handsome gentlemen. I did see some Amish people way there and way back, horse and buggy style. Didn't see any more popcorn. Amish till upstate New York.
Got to get some popcorn, some summer sausage. Very set.
One of the things that really upset me about the bare knuckle. Now, it wasn't the fights, because the fights always deliver, right? Big Ben Rothwell in there looking strong.
It was a great card on paper. It fizzled out a little bit because of some doctor stoppages, some collisions that led to injuries. We didn't get the fights we thought we were going to get, I was disappointed, but maybe I built it up in my head too much of what we were going to get to see, because Todd Duffy and Ben Rothwell, Alves and Mike Perry, and who was the other big fight on there?
You're talking about Lorenz, who broke his arm.
Lorenz. Yeah, he gets knocked down once. He's got knocked down in fights before and come back and won them. So, but how he fell, he dislocates his elbow. Even the one.
That was a big injury. I heard it wasn't just a dislocation.
That was a good first round, and they stopped it because of the cut. It was like we were this close to something legendary.
Again, the last three fights, I would have liked to see him go longer. Like you said, Rothwell goes in there, dusts up Duffy, he quits. You have that injury that was a freak injury. You watch it, his arm lands behind his back. And then Michael Perry cleans up Thiago Alves, who's had a storied MMA career, but is an older guy, and this is Mike Perry's sport. What really turned my stomach about the event is now we have McGregor involved. Conor McGregor, who is, in my opinion, all the evidence out there, a serial brutal violent rapist. He has no business in the UFC. Disney knows about his crimes. He's still a big seller. Whether he fights Michael Chandler or not, who knows? He's the new Roadhouse villain. Oh, people are on Amazon streaming. And now he's part of this sport. That tarnishes it for me. Why are you bringing in Conor McGregor?
I don't understand why. I don't understand why. They're doing so well. They have good things going on. The production's going well. Their fights are really good. But, what attention does he really bring? I know he's popular, but he hasn't won a fight in a long time. Like, his Roadhouse movie didn't look that great. Like, are people really that even excited for him and Chandler? Like, maybe it happens. Like, I'm still not convinced it's going to happen. But, like, I'm not even that. I don't really care that much. Like, what does it mean? Chandler gets a payday. Cool. I think that's cool. But otherwise, like, the fight doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't mean anything.
But is it even really a payday? A title shot, the guy hasn't fought in how long now? Like Chandler could have had three fights in since The Ultimate Fighter, could have cleared, you know, especially if he wins those fights, more than he's going to make with McGregor. You know, I'm sure he got a little bonus for the TV deal when you're on The Ultimate Fighter, but ultimately, you know, I hate it. I hate anything involved with this guy. Again, if outside of the octagon,
I don't see what he brings to the table. I just don't see what he brings to the table. Oh, he's popular. Like, I don't think, is he going to bring that many BK people? Oh, he's not fighting for them. And do you really think he's going to, you know, retire from MMA and then start banking for them? And do you really think he's going to, you know, retire from MMA and then start bare knuckle fighting? Do you think he's going to be able to, I mean, if he owns the company, I guess, I don't know, man, it seems far-fetched. If he's already making the millions of dollars a year on the whiskey, why is he going to risk the bare knuckle? Why risk a loss?
And I can't get away from that whiskey, by the way. It's everywhere. I mean, it's extremely expensive, and it's not awful. Good, by the way.
It's awful. I have never returned a bottle of whiskey before in my life. This one was returned.
I wouldn't do that.
It was given to me. We tried to drink. Nope, take it back.
Nope. And you're a bourbon guy. It's not like you don't. I mean, you like a nice glass of bourbon.
I love whiskey. Yeah, Scotch whiskey, a little Tennessee whiskey, some bourbon, a little rye whiskey. It's all good. It's a nice party. Mix them up.
Final story of the show, slap fighting. So again, I'm at my alumni weekend. I'm actually talking to a buddy of mine that used to train.
Brain damage, like central. The slap fighting doesn't really do it. It's not even fighting. You can't even call it bitch slapped. That's what we should call it, bitch slapped. I'm the king of bitch slapped. Like the only winner is the guy who got bitch slapped the least hardest. Like why would you, talking to my buddy Kevin,
yeah, he was constantly just going, well, what if you're the first guy to get slapped? You don't even get an opportunity and you get knocked out. And I'm like, well, how about the fact that you can't defend yourself and that your chin is right out there? And this is obviously a sport that's going to cause massive concussions. You know, it was really interesting. So I got a little DraftKings account. I gamble a little bit on the MMA and the BKFC. Guess what? Couldn't gamble on BKFC because it's not sanctioned in New York and everything is geolocated. Power Slap has yet to be in the big apps. I don't know if they're being gambled on in lower sites. But again, you're at a situation where you have dueling concussions and it is expanding. You know, before the break, you were talking about the Texas Athletic Commission and how it's expanded there. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mentioned last time that, Rob Macy is a lawyer who's got his license in California. He went to the commission meeting here in California when they're talking about licensing Power Slap here in California. They presented a bunch of documents talking about concussions and brain damage and how it was a bad idea and it's not a sport and it's awful. He gave his presentation and then he was completely wiped from the records. They removed all of the documents that he supplied to them, and his statements were stricken from the record. So if you go to the record, it's not there. None of what he did was there. And they passed it. They passed this concussion giving spectacle. And then now, this week, vote comes the Texas Commission. They don't even listen to anybody speak about it negatively, and then they don't publish or they don't look at any of the findings. They don't look at any of the paperwork. They just blind. It's a blind. Yep, it's okay. Yep, you're a sport. Give each other brain damage.
So they're obviously rubber stamping that because the UFC. Dana White, very involved. I'm not sure if it's part of TKO Promotions, which is also WWE, but it speaks to the corruption on every single level. You know, it's not just with our government. It's not just with our corporations. It's in our sports.
It's all connected.
It's in our schools. It's everywhere.
I don't believe that, you know, these are one-off instances and things that happen. I think everything is connected. Our financial system is crumbling. We are in a financial fallout, guys. We have printed more money in the last like 3-4 years than we have ever printed in our entire existence as a country. We have ridiculous amounts of debt. People think they have money and think they're rich. People look like they're spending money, but it's all debt. It's all debt. Eventually, the gap closes. It shuts. Like, it doesn't go forever. Like, be ready. You know,
not to mention, you're now paying $7+ a gallon in California for gas. Everybody check out the show. John Fitch Knows Nothing. John Fitch Knows Nothing. JohnFitch.net. Guys, thanks for watching the show here at TNT Radio, where we're doing it live 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, where the truth lives. It's not about left or right. It's always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys, and we'll see you on the flip side.